Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's Zoe here. I just wanted to hop on before this week's episode to send you guys some love. It has been a really challenging time. Obviously, everything that's been going on in Ukraine over the weekend, very hard not to feel deeply affected by the war, by the crisis. There's obviously lots of ways that we can lend our support. And I wanted to give you guys a few ideas. Chooselove.org, or you can go to warchild.org.uk. I'd also really love to give a special mention to Nanny Luana, who has basically set up a GoFundMe page, an Amazon wish list, and she is collecting for one of her friends who's living in Poland. They're taking in women and children, and they've just had a baby that's been born and they're looking for supplies. So if you go to her Instagram page, you'll be able to help and find out all of those details. And also, just to say, it's really, really difficult to know what to say to our children about this crisis. The news is on all the time. I know over the weekend we were watching it and Kit came in and sat on the floor and Luna was there, and it was, I didn't want them to see it and I wanted to turn the telly off, and then Dozzle was like, oh, you know, do we keep it on? Do we turn it off? It's really, really hard to know exactly what the right thing to do is. I guess we're all trying to figure it out and we all need to look after one another at this time. If you are being affected by anything that's going on, our DMs are always open. If you're noticing that, you know, your little ones are also picking up on various things and asking you questions, we're here to offer advice and help. And yes, I just wanted to say specifically that we are feeling it. We're going to carry on as normal across our Instagram and bring you a little bit of light relief. And also, today's episode was recorded before the Ukraine crisis. So please do have a little listen if you feel like you need a bit of headspace from it all. Sending huge love to everybody. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Hello.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. How are you?
Really good. How was your holiday?
Well, it was fantastic, thank you.
How brilliant that you managed to get away.
I know. I was so pleased.
Do you feel like you've totally relaxed?
Well, I mean, it's never going to be that relaxing, is it, with kids? But I do feel like this might sound so ridiculous, but I was just looking at the kids before we went away and they just looked like they needed some sun and some air. Like, also, Axel had chicken pox, which we haven't actually spoken about, have we, on here?
No.
He had, like, you know, scabs and, like, you know, just all, like, things. And actually getting in the sun, being outside, running around, no central heating, just... It just like just does wonders. Like, it was only 5 days, but we just feel so much better.
Oh, I'm perfect. And you had your lovely mum there as well, who's an absolute legend.
I know. I'm so lucky.
Precious
times. It's her 60th birthday this weekend.
Oh, wicked.
I know. So obviously I've managed to take her to Tenerife, even though she said she didn't want to leave the country. When she realised I would actually leave the country by myself with two kids, she was suddenly like, okay, yeah, I will leave the country. I'll come with you.
That's amazing.
We're going to Soho Farmhouse this weekend.
Oh, how lovely. What, to celebrate your mum?
Yeah. So I managed. I don't know how, because you can never get rooms that allow the kids. I think there's only like two rooms there that you can take the kids to. I managed to get a three-bedroom cabin.
Lovely.
I know. So, so excited.
Listen, I'm just going to say this to you, right? As a, as you know, someone who's, you know, attempting to be an influencer and failing miserably because we never take photographs of anything. If you do not take a photograph of yourself in an outside hot tub, it never happens.
Do you know what? Isn't it weird? Like, we're actually so bad at that. I do so many things that I don't post about. And then I think, even just right, not anyone listening, I do love sharing what we're doing, but not even just for everyone else, but also for memories for ourselves.
Yeah, I know,
I think, God, why didn't we take photos of that?
Yeah. Oh, I'm determined to do more of those photo books because I actually think they're a really lovely memory. Growing up, I used to go into the sitting room and there'd be floor to ceiling photo albums. My mum and dad just loved them. And I remember Catherine and I like pouring through them as kids and looking back on holidays and, you know, weekends away and hang time with friends and stuff. And then I got really into doing it when I was at school, you know, like I think it was like a 90s thing where everyone had a photo album. And I've just don't do it. They're just stored on my phone. Then my phone says it's full. Then I just delete everything.
That's what I was going to say. It's so true. And how nice is it, like, when you find a photo album from, you know, like 20 years ago or long. Do you know what? Even, I don't know if you did this, I used to take a digital camera out with me on nights out.
Yeah.
And then we'd either upload all the photos to Facebook, which is a bit weird, but, or we'd actually physically print them out. Like we had, you know, or we'd take disposable cameras. If we were going to Magaluf, we'd be taking a disposable camera.
Listen, but my my best mate, one of my best mates from school had his 18th birthday party and on every single table there was a disposable camera. Do you reckon that was like a thing that everyone did back then?
Anyway,
so at the end of the night, I took one of the disposable cameras to take it to Boots to get it done, put it in to the lady, came back 5 days later. She just pushed the folder over across from me. She went, every photo of a penis, every single photograph of a penis. And I was like, oh my God, the boys had basically gone round and just taken photographs of their willies and then just put that.
That is so funny.
And they still developed them for me. Brilliant.
Do you know what? That is the thing. I remember getting back from like girls' holidays and stuff and then putting the camera in at Boots or wherever.
Yeah.
And then suddenly like getting flashbacks of shit, what is on there? What is on there? Oh God, does the person who works developing the photos know anyone I know? Oh God. Are they ever going to look at me the same again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days, hey?
Yeah, it's actually really fun. Do they do disposable cameras? Maybe we should get them. We'll just take those out with us.
What a great idea. You can actually see what happens on a Made by Mama's night out.
Yeah.
Now we need to get into today's chat, a very, very, very special conversation with an amazing lady, somebody who's really using her platform to change the way that the modelling industry thinks and works. And we really respect her for that, actually. After chatting to her last week as well, it was kind of really obvious that for a really long time, even though, you know, diversity is now a massive thing in our world, as it should be, representation of people with disabilities isn't. And we wanted to have somebody on who could, you know, talk to us about what it's like to be a model and have a disability at the same time, even though she would never say that. She was like, I didn't even think of myself as a disabled person.
It's disabled,
I
thought that was really interesting, actually, and amazing in so many ways that she'd grown up not thinking of herself like that. And I think, you know, it's incredible, but she obviously had a really great, you know, group of friends. You know, her family obviously spoke to her in the right way, and that might not always be the case, or I imagine that it's not always the case. You know, we are in a world now where, you know, most people can feel represented in some way. There's obviously so far to go, but we are making steps towards it. And for us as parents, it's such a positive thing.
I really loved a lot of what she was saying. Kelly, who we're chatting to today, was born with one hand. And even her language around that, you know, she never at one point said, I was born without an arm or born without a hand. She said, no, I was only born with one hand. And even that language, that positive language, was really inspiring for me. Listening to her talk about prosthetics, the fact that she, you know, she never wanted to wear a prosthetic arm. I think she wore it a couple of times. It was really uncomfortable, and she was like, this is who I am.
This is the real me. Exactly.
This is the real me. And it was just incredible. Georgia, let's get into it. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Kelly Knox.
Both George and I are really, really looking forward to today's chat. And from the couple of minutes that we've had talking to this amazing person, I think it's going to be a really, really interesting conversation. A mother, an activist, a model. Her son's got croup at home. Addie's just been sick and had been at school. It's Kelly Knox!
Hello! Yay! Kelly, I mean, Zoe just touched in the intro. You've had a couple of weeks of sickness bugs, sick in a bin at school. That is the most annoying thing ever. How are you?
Other than that, I'm pretty much all right, I think, mostly. Yeah, it's just been like a full on like few weeks of just non-stop colds, coughs, croup, sickness in a bin. Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know how it is. It's always something.
There's nothing worse than sickness in a bin at school because there's no hiding it. Like once they've been sick in front of other people, that's 48 hours at home, isn't it?
That's it. Exactly. I remember Axel eating moldy pomegranates once in the morning for his breakfast. And I looked and I was like, no, don't eat them. Normally I just turn a blind eye and think, yeah, whatever. And then he was sick at school. And I felt No. I know that he was sick because I gave him moldy pomegranates. He's not got a sickness bug. He doesn't need to be at home for 48 hours.
Please. Moldy pomegranates.
Literally, it was disgusting. But anyway.
It's like one of those conversations overheard in Waitrose, isn't it? I gave my son some moldy pomegranates. For anybody listening, Kelly, that doesn't know your story, just talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you started modelling and kind of your background and your story. It's really interesting.
My journey started like 12 years ago, like in the modelling world. Kind of just fell into it, saw like an ad, it said like, are you beautiful and disabled and think you could be the next Naomi Campbell or Kate Moss? I mean, I didn't think that I was beautiful or disabled. I was born with one hand, but I just saw this ad and I knew I had kind of a fresh or different attitude to how most people would perceive disability. So I just thought, okay, let's give it a go. Got my mum to take some pictures of me. I was actually at work at the time. I was working a very boring office job doing credit control. And I thought, oh God, I just went on Facebook, popped up. And that's how it began, really. And then it just started from there. And it was so weird because like suddenly I was being labelled as disabled, which might sound completely mad and crazy to you because I have one hand and it's not there and it's always been this way. But I never kind of realised what being disabled meant, I guess. I guess it was my own ableism. But, you know, growing up in my house, my mum, I didn't live with my dad, but my dad also big influence on me, my brothers, my friends, all my family. We never, ever used that word. In fact, my dad called my arm Butter Moon because it looked like Butter Moon from the cartoon. My son still calls it that now, and my daughter. Yeah, it's just really weird to be kind of submersed into this world of fashion and also disability. I was learning everything along the way. I mean, at the start, I mean, now you see a lot more disabled models and disabled influencers, which is amazing, all for that. It's about time, but I still don't think we've had our proper glow up yet. That needs to happen. It's 2022. It was really hard at the start. I mean, so many doors were just slammed in my face, not literally, but like saying, you know, we don't want to see it. Let's sweep it under the carpet. I remember seeing a video at the start of my career and it was a very beautiful model at Fashion Week. And she said, New York Fashion Week would rather burn down than see a disabled person on the runway.
Oh my God.
That just infuriated me big time.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
But then I was like, do you know what? This is just fueling my fire as to why I need to do this. I knew that I need to do it. Obviously, I love beauty. I love fashion. I thought it would be nice, you know, getting my hair and makeup done, wearing cool clothes. But it wasn't about that. It was about what I could do for humanity and changing the way the world sees disability, changing the way the world sees beauty, and also helping people who were born like me or acquired any kind of impairment through accident or whatever, to have that confidence knowing, yeah, your body is different. It's not perfect. Nothing is in this world. But you are still bloody beautiful and you can own it and you can have that confidence and just be, you know, comfortable in your own skin. So that was really why I wanted to do it. I was signed to an agency at the time. It was a top agency like 12 years ago. But soon after, it went into liquidation. So I ended up spending a whole summer in Ibiza having fun in 2008.
I mean, was I there that year as well? You're probably a bit younger than me, aren't you? But like, yeah. Those summers in Ibiza are always a good one to kind of reset your mindset.
Oh, completely. And I needed that. And then when I come back, I just kind of just found my own kind of way, like in the industry, meeting people who had the same mindset, the same goals, who believed in diversity and representation for bodies like mine in the right way. Because I felt at the beginning it was more like tokenism and just doing it not really for the right reasons. For me, though, it is learning about how disabled people were treated and are treated in the world. That's the biggest eye-opener.
Kelly, let's talk about that for a minute, because even just, you know, hearing you talk now, we can see how passionate you are about this subject, but your language around it is very interesting. You say that you were born with one hand, and some people might say, you know, I was born without a hand. And I find even listening to that now, it's such a positive kind of spin on what you could look at your disability and say, you know, X, Y, and Z. But actually it's like, no, I've got one hand. That's how I was born. Now I've got to change people's mindset, because it all comes from a space of fear. When people don't want to see it, they don't know how to talk about it. So it's was right for years and years and years, hundreds of years, people were just frightened. Anything they didn't know themselves, anything they couldn't see themselves, anything that they hadn't experienced, they were scared, terrified. And therefore, the conversation was off the table.
Yeah.
You know, what's your sort of take on why the modelling industry hasn't caught up as quickly as it should?
I think you just hit the nail on the head, really. Like, people, there's so much fear around disability. Probably fear of getting it wrong. Fear of, especially in the world of fashion, everything is about aesthetics and perfection and this beauty ideal. But, you know, we wear clothes too. We enjoy fashion. We want to feel confident in our clothes. We want to feel beautiful. We want to feel empowered. We have money to spend. In fact, the Purple Pound is like the spending power of disabled people, and it's the largest untapped market in the UK.
Right.
Not only is it the most modern and moral thing to do, you're going to be making, like, businesses will make money from representing us.
Yeah.
That girl, that model at Fashion Week, didn't want to see it. It's like, it doesn't belong here because it's ugly, it's weird, it's different. We don't want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, you know, when you grew up and how you didn't, I guess you didn't think of yourself as someone with a disability until you saw the advert and then you were put in that kind of box, I guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how did, you know, how was it growing up, you know? Did your friends ever ask you questions? Did you ever talk about things? Or was it just something that people just accepted and just got on with and just treated you as they would treat anybody else?
A bit of both, really. My mum always said to me, if someone asked you growing up, what happened to your arm? Just say, when you was in mummy's tummy, your other hand didn't grow and that's how you was born. And your arm will be like that forever. It's never going to grow. It's going to stay the same. That's what I told people, and mostly it got accepted. I had lots of friends. It really didn't stop me from having, you know, a happy childhood in that way. I never wore prosthetic arms. Hated them, absolutely detested them, like, growing up. Like, they're just so impractical and hard and disabling and orange and plastic. I just remember writing on it with my friend at school when I did have to wear, not have to wear one, but I guess before I was at the age where I could say, I don't want to wear this. I just used to draw on it or bend the fingers back so it did like a swear with the fingers. I hated it. And my mum told me when I was in the buggy when I was like two, I had it on and I just like threw my arm. I pulled it off in the post office and like people just like staring, thinking, oh my God, this toddler has just ripped her arm off and threw it across the floor. So I think that fear spirit has always been in me.
Yeah.
My mum's friend, who is actually, she was my childminder. I'm still friends with her now. She's so lovely. She used to take me swimming and she remembers me playing with a girl once and the parents actually took the child away from me because like they felt offended that I didn't have a hand. So I guess lots of things like that happen, but I probably wasn't aware of it as a child.
Mm. And you had this confidence, I guess, that maybe not everybody has.
Yeah, I just never really cared. Obviously, I knew it wasn't there, but it's just a matter of what can I do about it? I can't, it won't grow. Mm. In fact, I did try wishing for it to grow when I was a teenager, but we all go through those body confidence issues when we're teenagers. I thought, oh, if I really wish, it might just grow. But obviously that wouldn't happen and would never happen. In fact, someone did actually tell that to me on social media. That was my first troll. So grow an effing arm, you effing bee. yeah, you're ugly, we don't want to see you.
God.
So I was like, no, I've tried that before, it didn't work.
Oh, Kelly, that's horrendous. I don't know, look, for me, I think that we've got such an important job as parents to teach our children that any form of difference, regardless of what that is special. And, you know, I can't talk about the details, but I've got a stepdaughter who's got, an impairment with her foot. And, you know, we're very much like trying to teach her that makes her special and that, and her difference is beautiful, and that doesn't matter what anyone says to her at school, you know, she can smile and just go, yeah, whatever, I'm happy with it, you know, get on with it. We're trying to talk about it, and I'm showing her photographs of, you know, Paralympians and, like, you know, saying that this woman won a gold medal and she's got one leg, you know, things like that. So I'm really trying. I think we've got such an important role because, you know, back in the day, like we touched on before, it wasn't accepted. It was a space which was a really frightening space if you were disabled or you had a disability, I imagine. So I think, you know, now you're a mum, the way that you're sort of beating that drum and really kind of shouting about it, you know, you've got a really important job to do. Do you teach your, your little one, have you sort of told them about, you know, how it is if someone has a disability? Have you kind of given him advice?
When he was about two or three, no, he was three, we met up with a girl. She's from the US. Her name is Angel. She is like bionic. She's an actress. She's super cool, has this amazing bionic arm. She came over to UK to do some work. So I went to meet her for the first time. We've been friends on like Instagram and stuff, just hyping each other up. So my son came with me, and she said most kids actually want to touch her bionic arm and, you know, want to see all the cool things it can do. All he wanted to do was for her to take it off so he could see her little arm underneath, her real arm. And I just think that's so endearing because, like, he's had me as a mum, like, growing up. He's just like, no, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
And, oh, God, that's quite emotional, actually. You know, when you grow up around difference and that, then naturally you are more accepting of other people because you don't see it as something to be scared of. You don't see it as something ugly. And when he was little, he was obsessed with Michael Jackson, and all he used to do was sing Michael Jackson songs into my arm. And now he'll just like kiss it. In fact, in bed the other night, I said to him, what is the best thing about me being your mum? He went, oh, it's your butter moon because it's just so cute and it's always smiling. I was like, oh my God. So funny.
What a lovely, lovely little boy. That's incredible that he sees that.
Yeah, it is. And what about, you know, Zoe and I sometimes talk about if we're, I don't know, in the supermarket or in the park, and one of our children, especially like the younger ones, the toddlers, they see someone with a difference and they point it out. And obviously it makes us feel uncomfortable. In that situation, what is the best thing that we can do and say to our kids?
Not to feel uncomfortable about it, definitely. That it's natural curiosity of toddlers to be that way. I mean, they're completely unfiltered, and it's so innocent and pure and beautiful, like, from a toddler. In my own experience, if I've been in the park, also when Jensen, like my son, like started reception, I remember a little girl, she even does it now, she'll just come up to my arm and just kind of like stare at it or like want to touch it, and then like, it's fine, you can touch it, like, it doesn't hurt, and, like, you know, explore. And then I'll just have a chat, I'll just ask them the question, like, you know what, I'm fine with that, you know, what happened, you can explain, like, it didn't grow when I was in my mummy's tummy and this is how it's going to be. I think the more open, authentic conversations you have, then it does have less, you know, fear and more acceptance.
Yeah, and that, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, that if you guys are having conversations and it's such a big part of your life and your conversations at home, then naturally, you know, your children become more accepting and they actually don't need to point things. I mean, their children will always be curious, won't they? They'll always see something of difference and they'll go, what's that? Like, I was telling a story about last week back in the supermarket, and there was a lady in like a mobility scooter, and he was like, mummy, what's that? Is that a wheelchair? And I was like, no, that's a mobility scooter. And she was really lovely to us, and she was like, it's because I can't walk very far. And like, we had a really lovely chat about it, and it was a really beautiful conversation between like a fairly old lady and my three-year-old son.
Beautiful, I love that.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
So we've touched on, you know, you getting into the modelling industry and sort of coming up against, like, I guess, difficulties. Mm. How did you break through that? And do you think that the industry is changing and progressing? And what can we do to help move it on?
Not long after I saw that horrible video, someone in the industry said to me, oh, you'd get more work if you wore a prosthetic. And that goes against everything. Like, number one, I don't wear prosthetics. So why am I going to wear one just to blend in, to look normal, to look like everyone else? And it's not me. And it's a very ableist comment. So I just stuck to my gun, stuck to my heart, always followed the beat to my own drum. Around 12 years ago, yeah, it definitely has changed. There's so many more people out there representing themselves. I think Instagram played a big part of it, because when I first started, I didn't have Instagram. If I had Instagram then, it could have been a completely different story for me in the beginning. But now people can go on there, represent themselves, you know, be proud of the skin they're in, and just be their own muse and create their own beauty ideal. Even though there has been significant changes in the industry, and definitely moving forward with disability, especially with children, I feel, but there's still such a long way to go. We need to see it more regularly. We need to see it all the time. It can't just be like a campaign here, campaign there. We need it all the time. We need that representation for it to be normalized, for it to be accepted, for it to be, well, to be inclusive. Like, why not? Why does, when it comes to diversity, why isn't disability at the forefront? Now, when you think of diversity, people think of like color and age and sexuality and gender choice, which are all very important things that need to be said and done and explored. But why is disability separate? And that's the mentality that needs to change, is that disability is not separate. It's part of diversity. It's part of the world, and it is part of life. If anything, as time goes on, you know, if you're lucky to live to a certain age, at some point, everyone's going to become disabled. And I think that's where the fear lies as well, because you think, oh my God, what if that happened to me? And that's when I've met people in the street, or if I've been swimming, or I've been doing that. I remember when I was working, before I had my son, I was working for a really, really cool charity called Shape Arts. They're a disability-led arts organisation. I remember just on my lunch break, going into Superdrug, going to buy a few little bits, and the person serving me, who was also under the diversity bracket, thought he could ask me, do you have a job? How can you work?
What?
Oh my days, like, what do you think? Because I have one hand, I can't work. That you're insulting my intelligence, you're insulting my capabilities, you're thinking that, yeah, things like that. I think I might have been pregnant at the time, so I probably wondered how the hell she also got pregnant. And another conversation I remember, someone again who falls under diversity bracket, they said, oh, I'd love to have a disabled girlfriend because they'd never leave me.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's shocking to hear. How do you cope with that? Because look, I mean, everybody has their off days where they feel that they can't cope with comments online or comments that are said to them. I mean, we've all got our ways, our sort of coping mechanisms on how we deal with that. What is yours?
I just know it's not about me, it's about them, how they feel about themselves. It's taken a long while to get to that point, build up from over the years of self-love and just knowing that if someone does say something completely ignorant like that, you know, it's more about how they feel about themselves, their own self-worth, their own self-love, their own projections, more than what it is about you. That's what it is, isn't it? Anyone who bullies, it's always about, it's all about them.
It's about them. Yeah. I also find it just odd that people feel the need to comment on someone else's appearance in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like what's the need? You know, you're not asking for any, you know, you're not asking for a comment unless you're putting yourself out there and asking someone, what do you think of this or what do you think of that? Fine. Mm. But what is the need to comment on someone's appearance as adults? Mm. You know, we can't always control our toddlers or our children, but adults, you know, there is no need. There's no need to say anything.
I feel as women as well, there is a lot directed at us. You know, you're aging like a fine wine, or, you know, all this kind of the language around aging and how we look. And like you said, you know, our bodies, Georgia, are not just our bodies. They're there for everybody else to comment on them. I think women get it much harder than men do. We touched on that with Louise Boyce, didn't we? Mama still got it about, actually, I think, you know, it is quite difficult to be a woman and to age and to maybe look different and to have, you know, I guess, just being a woman, maybe is a bit harder.
Yeah,
definitely. It's like when you think about like someone like George Clooney, has an age, it's like, oh my God, he's so hot, he's so fit, he's so gorgeous. And yeah, of course. But if it's a woman going through that, it's like, oh my God, she needs to have Botox, she needs to have filler, she needs to do this, she's that. And it's nothing wrong if people want to do that. But why should that only be aimed at a woman? Like, why is it okay for a man to age and still and get hotter naturally, but it's not okay for a woman to age naturally and get her wrinkles and it's not getting twisted, we get much less sleep than men, so of course we're gonna get of course our skin's gonna suffer, bloody hell.
It's difficult. It's a tricky one. But I guess the only thing we can keep doing is having people like you kind of, you know, shouting about it, talking about it and doing what you're doing and normalizing it. Like just looking at your Instagram, Kelly, it's so beautiful. It's such an amazing space. Like I don't have the confidence to be able to stand there in my underwear and walk. Like I wish I could show it, but I don't. I think when I look at you, I just thought you, there was a post that you did recently, a reel, I think it was for Valentine's Day. You were in a red set and I just thought, me, that body is banging, she looks unbelievable. keep doing what you're doing.
And what's next, Kelly? What have you got coming up? What are your plans?
I'm working with some really nice brands and just want to keep that open, really, is working with more people who are on the same wavelength and believe in the same stuff and the diversity, and it's just all about empowerment and self-love and just helping people to feel, you know, more at ease and at peace and in love with their own bodies.
You're helping so many people as well. I read, you know, that someone had sent you a message to say, you know, you are there showing my daughter that she's beautiful. She'd been born without a hand as well. Yeah. And she can now look up to you, you know, in campaigns, on the runway, all of that kind of stuff, and think, there I am, like I'm represented. Please carry on.
I will do. I love it though. I really enjoy it. It's not as if, like, oh my God, I've got to do this. I'm like, I want to do this. I'm excited by it. I want to do it to, again, you know, to help the mums. And think about when I was growing up, my mum didn't have any of that. My mum never had someone to show her the way, to know that I'll be okay doing my shoelaces, doing my hair, getting myself dressed, all the basic things, getting through school, having a boyfriend. Like, it's just things that so many people take for granted, like having the confidence to be that role model for not only the little girl, and she was two at the time, but her mum. It's absolutely everything, and that is why I started doing this in the first place. It is for that reason. We all deserve to, no matter what, disabled or not, we all deserve to have that confidence, to be in love with ourselves. We can't all the time, because nothing's perfect, and we all have our moments, but just know at our truth, our soul level, our heart, that it's all good. It's all good. And you know what, life is so precious.
God, we were talking about this earlier on, weren't we, George?
That's
saying, in fact, we're doing a post tonight on it, because there's a lot of this similar thoughts going through our heads at the moment about how finite life is and how it's just a knife edge, really. You don't know, you've got to appreciate and cherish every moment. Kelly, before we say goodbye to you, we love to ask our guests the best piece of advice that they've ever been given around parenting, or the piece of advice they'd give to a new parent.
I think motherhood especially is your greatest initiation. Like, it's a rite of passage. It is beautiful, it's sacred, but it's also raw and messy and untamed, and we have to move through it all. I think children have a very special way, even though it doesn't feel like it at times when it's in the moment, of showing us where we need to heal, where we need to show up more, and help us to grow. We are growing with them. to be the best versions of ourselves. So they are the magic. I always say to my sons, especially because he's older and he was born ancient. I'm like, I may be your mum, I may be older than you. I said, but you are so wise and you are so ancient and knowing, and you inspire me all the time.
And also, we love to hear about products. We're obsessed with makeup and beauty and products for the kids. We just love to hear, like, what are your absolute must-haves?
I've been working with Baby Dove for the past couple of years, and I absolutely love everything Baby Dove, especially their Calming Nights. I just feel like using the Calming Nights body wash, the lotion, that really just helps, like, with the bedtime routine, like the massage. When both my kids were babies, the Chico next to me crib, that was an absolute lifesaver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loved that, like, for breastfeeding, just being there at the bed. But at the end of it, they grow out of it. They just end up in your bed anyway. But when they're little, very little, it's that's the safest, most comforting, close option. My friend Jamie Lee, she's just launched her business called Cosmic Keepsake, and she makes jewelry like rings and necklaces too, and she stores the mum's breast milk, or maybe if there's been like a loss, like a stillbirth, then one of our friends also went through that, like the ashes, like in the ring or in the necklace. So I think that is such a beautiful thing. Anything that's keepsake, anything that kind of reminds you of their little hands or their little feet, is everything.
Love.
Yeah, I wish I'd done that now, especially because Kit's feet are so bloody big and wide. Oh, I'd have loved to have done
I said
those.
To my son the other day, I said, he was just sitting at the table, like having something to eat. And I said, Jensen, your feet look like spatulas. They were so big.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, where are those little tiny feet gone?
I know. Oh, I know. Damn. I know. Although I mean, Georgia keep talking about doing a business for kids with extra wide feet, because Clarks have stopped doing the H's now. And that means that I'm now like the only ones I can get are the big old American brands, and I have to two size up. So he's like, Mummy, my feet, they're too big. And I'm like, yeah, but dude, your feet are so wide. We've got to go extra large here. Do you know what I mean? And then the ones online look like, yeah, they're not the best. So Georgia, we'll have a chat about that. We'll have a conversation again.
Yeah, exactly.
And also as well, like Zig and Star, they make amazing footwear.
Zig and Star.
Brilliant. Perfect. Okay. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks,
for anybody that doesn't follow Kelly, get yourself down to her Instagram now. And thank you so much for coming on and being so honest. It was lovely to chat to you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Kelly Knox, what a woman. What an amazing episode.
I know. Do you know, it was actually really emotional as well when she was talking about her son and how when, that you know, they met up with, I can't remember what the lady's name was, somebody in a similar space to Kelly, and she was wearing a prosthetic and he didn't like it, and he really wanted her to take it off so he could see her arm.
And also how they call Kelly's arm Button Moon, which I thought was really beautiful as well. The whole conversation, I really learned loads from it actually. And I also loved how she said, you know, don't feel uncomfortable if your child points out somebody's disability in, you know, the supermarket or in the park or whatever. Don't be frightened to have those conversations. And actually, if everybody just, you know, pulls their barriers down a bit and just has a more open and honest chat around it, then we can all be more educated. You know, we're not supposed to know what to say or what to
That's
do
what I was
if
gonna
it's
say.
Not going on with us.
Exactly. And all we can do is try and understand what other people are going through, have these conversations, learn from things, talk about it. We won't always get it right, but we can't shy away from it, and we can't feel embarrassed. But thank you, Kelly. We really enjoyed that chat.
And as always, we would absolutely love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a follow. And we love seeing your photos, don't we, George?
Yeah, we do. Please tag us in your pictures. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram. And if there is anyone that's caught your eye or your ears that you'd like to hear from on the podcast, please just drop us a DM. We're always open to suggestions. And we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.